Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com for all of your information, show prep articles, contributor articles, original content, links, and so on. That's HagmanReport.com. Two N's on Hagman. Please bookmark that website. And notice on the top right there, that banner. You see that big old blue banner that Eric created? And even the one on the right? You click on that and guess where that takes you? That takes you to where the show, it takes you to the episodes. It's really simple. There's last night's episode right there. You click on that and guess what happens? The episode comes up, both video and audio, and, links, appropriate links in there as well. And last night, I want to thank people for commenting on Rumble. Thank you so much for your comments, and please subscribe to subscribe to Rumble, but subscribe to the Hagman Report on Rumble. We're really inadequate in terms of subscriptions. So I'm not exactly 100% sure what's taking place. I do know that censorship is in huge. It's just out of control at the moment. So anyway, I have a great show lined up for you today. I've got some business to take care of, some news in this first little portion here that is extremely important. And then, joining me is, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. But in the initial segment here, a couple of things. I don't know how many people remember the series, the Barney Miller series. You remember that? I remember it in real time. All right. And I've seen this 47 second clip before. I think it's 47. I don't know. It's a short clip. Now, of course, YouTube would never allow this to be played or whatever, but I've seen this to be played. And we're on Brighty on as well. I've seen this played before, and I don't recall it in real time. If I do, it at the time, it didn't make any impression upon me. It generated an audience laugh, but I'd like you to take a look at this as an example of predictive programming, as an example of really what predictive programming is. And I've often said, the global scumbaggery is laughing at us. They're laughing at you and me. It's in our face. Everything that they're planning on doing and they're currently doing, it's in our faces. Okay? Exhibit A. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, here it is.
Cooperation between their nations.
And with that, that's what they'd like us to believe. But you see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
Again, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I give you Exhibit A. Now, that was back in 1975. I believe it was in 75. I didn't check the IMDb. I didn't check the database on that, but I think it was 75, perhaps 76, but it was in the first or second season. And there it is. Eric the Tech, what do you think about that? That's before your time. What do you think about that? No, you're not impressed, or you're not impressed. You're not saying, oh, okay, well, they're I mean, I get it. I get it, I guess.
It's good.
A man of many words, right? All right. So that was that. I wanted to get that out of the way. Now, yesterday's program, last night's program, was talking a lot about the coronavirus, which is really the Communist Chinese Party virus, the passport, the digital passport. One individual that has been outspoken, and he should know because he was within that circle of people in the Donald Trump administration, is Peter Navarro, Dr. Peter Navarro. All right. Well, Dr. Navarro has been, obviously, folks, you know, he's been a guest on Bannon's War Room Pandemic for many, 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 many segments. Combined with the investigative reporting of the National Pulse, Natalie Winters, connecting the dots of this bioweapon. Now listen. It's a coronavirus. It's a SARS-2 coronavirus bioweapon. It was tweaked, okay? Now the, now when I say that, people automatically think, oh my gosh, it's going to kill everyone. No. Let's not overstate the mortality rate, which is 0.025, okay? Let's not overstate that. And in fact, we really don't know what the mortality rate is because of the lies coming from the CDC here in the United States and the World Health Organization globally. So we don't know. But it's the majority have comorbidities as well as, I mean, there's just a lot of things wrong with the numbers. But one clear segment I'd like you to see, Peter Navarro. Now, again, he was within that circle, Fauci, Burks, Donald Trump, others in the Trump White House, who was on the ground, boots on the ground, hands in the pot about the coronavirus response. And the question always has been, where did this come from? You know, how did this – let's connect the dots here a little bit. So he appeared on the War Room. This is a 3-4 minute clip. It's just a very brief clip. But pay attention to this, and especially the latter part of this clip, the last half of this. He refers to the Wuhan lab as the house that Fauci built. And I think that is so appropriate. Okay. Now, the reason I'm showing you this is we need to show others this. I don't care if you get it from Bannon's site or this site or wherever, but we need to make sure other people know the truth behind the release or at least the creation of this modified gain of function, modified virus. This is not natural in nature given the time frame. Now, again, it doesn't mean it's a killer virus, you know, much like the Andromeda Strain movie. No. But it's tweaking, it's messing around with the gain of function. But by whom? Watch this.
What struck me was a sense of deja vu. I mean, it's like if you just go back a year from today, we have hand-wringing about stop the spread. We're going to lock everything down, right? And Joe Biden, I mean, he basically appoints the vice president to run the show, right? So it's like they're doing everything that we did back in March. I mean, there's nothing new about what they're doing, and they're rolling the dice on this vaccine. Now, let me show you something, Steve, why that's a bad roll of the dice. For the radio audience, I'm putting up a map here, which is a map of how the various mutations of the Fauci virus are spreading around the world, right? You see the purple here, where that's kind of the mothership, the Wuhan virology lab. That's like the first thing going out. But then you've got the Brazilian mutation that's coming up from the south through our southern border. And, Joe, you're going to, like, have everybody wear masks in the upper 50. And meanwhile, you're going to send us the Brazilian strain. What's interesting about the Brazilian strain is that it's more highly contagious and deadly. And then you've got in Europe, you've got the UK and South African strains. My point here is simply that if you think through what's going on, it gets us to the House of Fauci behind me. Why do I say that? This looks to be like a weaponized virus. It's, first of all, and Fauci was surprised at this in the CNN interview last night. It was like a beautiful moment where Redfield saying, yeah, it came from a lab, and then Fauci saying, wow, you know, I said this, and history was right. And we've never seen a virus like this before. Well, Tony, it's because never before did you allow the Chinese to engage in gain-of-function research to genetically engineer a deadly virus. So, Tony, don't be shocked. What I'm shocked about is how you and Collins, Francis Collins at the NIH, thought it was a good idea to give the effectively a neutron bomb to the Chinese in the bioweapons space. So we've got the house that Fauci built here. This Wuhan lab, Fauci went out of his way to give him money, your money, American taxpayer money. And then he pulled this sleight of hand. Fauci is the least trustworthy person in Washington because the Obama administration in 2015, as you know, Steve, through the National Security Council at the White House said, no, Tony, no gain of function. That's really dangerous. You do not.
I think it was in 14. But go ahead.
And then what does Fauci do? It's like Trump wins, right? We're in the White House. We're not thinking pandemic. We got a lot of other things on our mind. And I guarantee you that it never happened that Fauci came and briefed the president or anybody. It was never in the intelligence briefing that, hey, by the way, we're going to let the Chinese Communist Party at a lab which works for the People's Liberation Army start engaging in gain-of-function research on viruses, right? He didn't do that. He just slipped that beneath the radar, right? And so the house that Fauci built, what did we get? We got American taxpayer money. American taxpayer money paying for a genetically engineered virus courtesy of Tony Fauci pushing gain of function. I mean, you can't make that up. If I took that to Hollywood as a script, they'd say, no, that just couldn't happen. And Fauci, I mean, this guy, he's like the darling. He's, look, those doctors that were on last night, he's the only one that survived. Biden, yeah. They got rid of everybody else. Why would you want Tony Fauci, who created this pandemic to begin with? Wring your hands at the CDC, lady. Okay? Yeah. No, that's not what Americans want to hear. They want to hear what you're going to do.
All right. So that was Peter Navarro, Dr. Peter Navarro, again, in the he should know what he's talking about. He does know what he's talking about in the fact that American taxpayers funded this very study, which resulted in this outbreak, if you will, or this tweaking of a coronavirus, making it a novel coronavirus, SARS-2 novel coronavirus.
I love paying for this stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know what? It's actually automatically taken out of your check. I make sure I have to, as an employer, I have to write the checks. So,
COVID withholding?
Yeah, precisely. COVID 1984 withholding. And Richard Proctor's books, you know, there's going to be a surcharge now for COVID 1984. Anyway, hold on. It's going to be a great show. All right. A couple more things very, very quickly here. Now, you know how people like to talk about, well, I lost my gun in a boating accident, right? All right. Now, I'm not changing the subject here. The same theory applies to, well, you know what? There's going to be a black market for COVID with the vaccination passes. There's going to be a black market for that. You don't think that the FBI, the CIA, the MPP, the IRS, the whatever alphabet agent, you don't think that these scholars thought of that? All right. Well, looky here what I found on the FBI website. This is a public service announcement. That's right. It's a PSA from the FBI. You know, look.
There goes my small business.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you can, I should say you can actually find these on eBay, find these cards, but the public service announcement is this. If you make or fake, or if you make or buy a fake COVID-19 vaccination record card, you can endanger yourself and those around you. And this is the money phrase here. You are breaking the law. So, wait a minute. So it doesn't say anything about selling in that headline. So I guess we can make and sell. Well, no, you have to make them to sell them. So, okay. But the Department of Health and Human Services, headed by Cousin It. Do we have the obligatory? I'm not going to make you put up the obligatory photo because I'd be gouging my eyes out. So anyway, the office of the OIG, the Inspector General from the Health and Human Services Department, the FBI. Hey, they're telling you right now, don't do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Nope. Wouldn't be prudent. Because, of course, you wouldn't want to fake it now, would you? Ladies. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Sometimes you have to interject attempted humor anyway. Men, ladies. Yeah. So it's an advisory. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't even think about it. We know you thought about it, so don't do it. So what does this mean in the long run? I ask that you go back to yesterday's show. If you didn't hear it, especially the first hour, if you did not hear the first hour, it connects some dots as to what is coming. All right. So please go back to the first hour. Now, there are numerous other headlines, none of which really I'm going to get into in depth.
Before you go on.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sure because it's so easy to forge these cards.
And can I say this?
Yes.
Eric the Tech has done it.
Oh, yeah.
He's done it.
Yeah, because I want to get my groceries if I have to.
But why'd you make me pay $50?
That was a family discount.
Friends and family discount. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, actually, he's...
But these cards are going to go away, and it's going to be
it's all a
digital form, something with a barcode.
What he said.
That'll be a little more difficult.
You think maybe the barcode might be right here or right here?
I like the forehead one.
Yeah. Hey. And the subliminal messaging of, have you gone, for example, anywhere? Folks, have you gone anywhere where they take your temperature? Where do they take it? Right on the forehead. They scan your forehead with that thermometer. And it's almost as if they're preparing you for something. I don't know. What do you think? Again, conversate, folks. No, I hate that word. People have used that word as if that's a word.
I honestly see it putting into just your ID data, and your license will be scanned. That'll probably be like the first step. ID will be scanned. But what if you don't have a license?
Well, see.
I guess there will be a secondary card for that.
Well, let me ask you this, Eric the Tech. It's racist to ask for voter ID. Am I right?
That statement doesn't even make sense.
But no, it is. The left says it's racist to ask for voter ID, but everyone is going to be required, at least in New York, and it's going to be across the country, to have the COVID ID vaccination ID thing. I guess all I have to say is, look, I'm a minority, or at least I identify as a minority. I'm too stupid. I can't get an ID. I don't know how to get an ID. I identify as a minority. So, you know, hey, gonna have to let me slide. Okay. My beautiful, lovely, charming wife walked into the studio. Is she here? She walked into the studio. How great is that? My lovely wife, Renee, or sweetheart, would you like to come on camera? You look beautiful today. Left the house and now she's here. So, all right. A couple other things very quickly. There's some dust up with Representative Matt Gaetz. Folks, oh, man, where do I even start with this? Very quickly, you just need to know this because this is, like, critically important for people to really understand. Matt Gaetz was on with Tucker Carlson yesterday. Now, he is saying that he had Department of Justice lawyer David McGee extorting him amid this bizarre FBI sting thing going on that involves Matt Gaetz with a 17-year-old girl traveling and such, which Gaetz denies, and there's no evidence whatsoever. But what's really, really bizarre about this, and you may not hear about this on any other platform, the DOJ lawyer, now in private practice, that DOJ lawyer, that name sounded familiar, so I did some digging. Remember the PI, the private investigator, who disappeared over in Iran, Levinson? Remember that? He represented Levinson. Now, Levinson was a private investigator. He was with alphabet agencies, and he was reportedly, although deniably plausible, there's plausible deniability here, a CIA asset or an intelligence asset of some type. But what you're not going to be hearing about is the fact that he represented Levinson's family. Now, that again, you have to go back in history. I don't have my notes here, but just keep that in the back of your mind. Levinson disappeared again over in Iran. And this also has interplay with Sidney Powell's book, License to Lie. There's interplay with, if I laid this all out for you, you'd need a flow chart and I'd have to show you different things, but just suffice it to say, in my personal assessment of this, knowing what I know as a previous operational asset with the Department of Justice and such, okay, there's a whole lot wrong with this. I mean, a whole lot wrong with this. Not Matt Gaetz. No, with the taking of, with the leak, because what this was all about was an embezzlement, a blackmail, if you will, operation that was being spearheaded through the Department of Justice / FBI. And the payments were going to be, hush money was going to be made by Matt Gaetz's father. And it was like $4.5 million of a $25 million down payment or $25 million payment. And, somehow, suddenly, the story gets leaked to the New York Times, thus cutting the knees off of that potential criminality. If in fact the facts are the way they are, the attorney here, again, the attorney McGee, DOJ lawyer David McGee, the fact that New York Times leaked that information, or it was leaked to the New York Times and it got out, and I think one other, maybe Yahoo as well, and it got out to the public. Well, that alerted McGee to the fact that this was a sting operation, and had that money been, had that transaction been completed, McGee would have been in the whole world of hurt. Not that he isn't perhaps potentially already, but it's kind of like, let me give you an example. Jane Smith wants to kill her husband, Don Smith. Okay. So Jane Smith, what does she do? She calls someone up and says, hey, can you kill Don, my husband? Sure. Okay. So Don's, or, so the guy that she contacts goes to the cops and says, hey, you know what? I was just solicited to kill, Don Smith. And the police say, okay, let me wire you up here. And this does involve wearing wires, which, by the way, is really uncomfortable if you got chest hair. I'll tell you that. Or at least it used to be. I know from experience. And when wires short out, and they do sometimes if you're wearing a battery pack, it also scars your arms up. But anyway, depending on where they run the wire. If the money doesn't change hands, it's really a much less of a case than if it does. So I'm looking at this from the point of mitigation. In other words, mitigation of criminal conduct. That's what I'm saying. All right. So watch this, because Gates is loaded for bear right now. Man, he is loaded for bear, and he's ready to, and he's coming out swinging. This is the reason I bring this up, is this exposes elements of the deep state, of which the DOJ and the FBI, at least at the higher levels, at the highest levels, are coordinating the takedown of the Christian conservatives or the ideological opponents, their ideological opponents. That's what's taking place. That's what the takeaway from this is. Okay, you need to know this is in full swing. This is, Gates was a problem child for the NWO, New World Order, you know, Barney Miller piece. And, so, we're gonna take him out. Well, at the lower level or whatever level he was dealing with, they went through the motions maybe. Maybe there was some good intent, but at some point, the whole thing was, they threw the kibosh to the whole thing by leaking this story. So, watch this carefully. More to come on that. One more thing, and then Dr. Proctor on deck. So patient. And we're going to be getting to Dr. Richard Proctor here momentarily. The southern border is all part of this as well. Because if you buy into the Brazilian strain of the coronavirus, if you buy into that, and I do believe there's mutations. I believe that. Because viri, is that plural for virus? Anyway, they mutate naturally. And you're not going to have, think of the flu. You might get a flu shot if that's what you do. And maybe it protects you from one, two, or three variants of that flu, whatever's going around that previous year. Right? But if it mutates, and it does, hence the word mutation. Then the vaccination or the flu shot is ineffective. So what's going on at the southern border? Oh, bunch of stuff. There's the southern border. There's got like three, four different aspects to it. One, of course, is the bringing of people into, just to really kill the Western civilization. It's going to dilute Western civilization to the point where we will not recognize our country. Shortly. Secondly, this is a big talking point. Oh, bringing in Democratic voters. Yeah, okay, we got that. We got that. Thirdly, they're not being tested for this oh so dangerous mutation. And they're bringing it in with them. The other part of this is Psaki, who never Again, the P is silent in Psaki as well as the P in president for Biden. But the fact that they've turned this into a business, this is important to understand. Follow the money. And that's what this next short clip is about, is following the money. Owen Schroyer went to the border, went to McAllen, Texas, and then went to the airport down there and saw, again, this is going to be very brief. If you saw this on InfoWars or Band.video, you saw him down at the southern border. I think it was last night. It could have been the night before. I'm not sure. But regardless, each of these illegals had envelopes, all right? And some had envelopes with signs on them printed, or papers printed in English saying, please help me. I don't understand English. And then they had flight numbers, or in some cases, bus locations, pickup locations. Okay. Which I will also say, in addition to the business aspect of this, Craig Sawyer, again, Craig Sawyer, who we've been working along with Russ Dizdar to fight human and child sex trafficking. The number of sex cartel members that engage in sex trafficking has gone through the roof. It's just crazy. And we're going to be dedicating some time in the future to a program about that, because it is so substantially, it's very important to understand. Okay, just check this real quick. Check this video out here of Owen Schroyer. This, I believe, he's at the airport first, and then there's we'll switch real quick to the other part of the video, which he's out and about. So go ahead and play that one.
Picture.
Photos.
Yeah, photos. Yeah.
Yes. See. Sí.
This one. See.
Sí. Thank you. Gracias. Gracias.
Gracias. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
God bless.
God bless. Safety and peace.
I don't know. What did we?
This is your flight right here. You're going to Las Vegas. Yeah, right here. Trace?
Si. Trace, yes, yes. Si. Si.
Ladies and gentlemen, Owen Schroyer here, and we are in McAllen, Texas, at an airport in Hidalgo, Texas, where it just came out, and we have the story at newswars.com. Flights from South Texas packed with illegals carrying aid envelopes, according to reports. Now, this just broke this evening on Monday, March 29th. And so we just got this information about 2.5 hours ago. So immediately we figured, well, let's get into the airport and let's see if we can find this happening in live time. We got into the airport, and within 3 hours, so again, here's the story from NewsWars. Migrants receiving wads of cash, flying without ID, witnesses say. You have Jen Pellegrino from One American News Network, and you can see the images of the envelopes. They have their flights. They have everything because they can't speak English. Here's another one, the envelope, inside cash, and it has all the flight information on it because they can't speak or understand English. So, again, that story is at newswars.com. So we figured we're already down here at the border. Let's take a quick trip to the airport and see if we can't catch this in live time. And ladies and gentlemen, without but 3 hours of notice to try to find this, here's just a brief preview of what we got. This is an original photo from me that I just got. And the family, it was a family of four that had this, and it was filled with stuff. I don't know what. This was from a family of four. As you can see, it has their flights and the airports and everything on it. Now, when I went up to try to talk to them, I realized that they can't speak English. And so we had to kind of speak a little Spanish. We have video of this. We're going to post it to Band.video. And basically, they were just trying to figure out where their flight is, what gate they go to. So I had to show them. I said, oh, let me see your envelope. I'll show you what gate we go to. I pointed them in the right direction. And we also have video of that. We'll give you a brief preview here. Not okay, only
you can...
did we have this family, but I believe we found two other envelopes, correct?
Two other
three?
Groups.
Yeah. So this is the last flight out of McAllen into Las Vegas. We got into the airport last minute. This is a buzzer beater shot. And we found three envelopes, just as described in the story from News Wars, with numbers, flights, information, everything on it. And so it appears that these people are actually maybe heading towards Salt Lake. And so that's where they're going to Vegas, and then tomorrow to Salt Lake.
Okay, you can cut it right
and again,
there.
They-
All right. Now, really quick, what was in those envelopes, what is in those envelopes, my source, and I cannot confirm this with any outside of trusting the individual I spoke with, who was at that very airport, said that there was anywhere between $1,000 and $2,500 in cash in those envelopes, or at least one that he saw. Now, period. I'm just going to put a period there. Do with that what you will. Out of respect for my guest here, I just want to hit this last video, the second video, just for really the appearance or the optics part of this, or the visual evidence, I should say, part of this. Go ahead and play this last video.
Ladies and gentlemen, Owen Schroyer here from InfoWars.
The audio is really bad on this.
We are in downtown McAllen, Texas, and we came here today because we heard that the migrants crossing the southern border were coming to a bus stop here. And so we came by the bus stop and we wanted to do a little recon. And we didn't even walk a block. And stepping out of this Catholic Charities RGV Center was a group of migrants carrying the exact same envelopes that we've seen at the airports, the exact same envelopes they get when they cross the border, the exact same envelopes they get when they fly or get a bus or wherever it is they're going to the United States of America. So it appears that they're coming to this bus stop if they're not getting on a plane, and they're being housed at this Catholic Charities RGV.
Take a look at that van.
And then the next day they are being shipped out via a van or a bus or perhaps even an airplane. What is in the envelopes? I think it's fair that we find out, but media won't ask the question. Owen Schroyer here for Infowars.com, and I am standing outside of a facility, a Catholic humanitarian facility in McAllen, Texas.
Okay.
Right across.
You can just pause that right there. This is what I would like everyone to see, and then I'm going to close this segment out here. That Catholic Charities is one of several hub points, hubs, if you will, NGOs that are transporting these illegals, and they are illegal. They are here in this country illegally. They have no identification. Their court dates are 3+ years out. It's a promise to appear. There's no guarantee. There's nothing legitimate about what's taking place at the southern border with under the Harris-Biden regime. Except when you look at that picture and you see Catholic Charities behind Owen, understand that's one of several hubs that act as transfer points for these people.
Are these pop-up hubs?
No. Well, in some cases, yes. But this one here is, I believe, has been there for a couple of years, and it's in very close proximity to the border. But you have these NGOs, and specifically 501c3s, including but not limited to Catholic Charities, that get paid per head, per person, by way of the federal government, your tax dollars, because I have to write another check out of your check, Eric the Tech. And these places benefit the more people they process, the more money they receive. And remember I said the van, watch the van. These vans, buses, trucks, whatever they might be, those drivers are U.S. coyotes that get paid as well, whether they transport the people from the Catholic charities, the tents, the processing centers. Now, the processing centers are pop-ups. They get paid per capita, per head, by elements of the federal government. When I say elements, on different departments, some coming from Health and Human Services. Remember, I said cousin it. Think about that. At the direction of Biden, and really at the management of Harris. Now think about that for a moment. So if that building back there, Catholic Charities, 501c3, if they get, let's say, $1,000, per person, that doesn't even include what's in the envelopes, and they process 10,000 people. Now we're talking some money.
And if a person dies from COVID in your hospital, you get that money too.
That's right. Fiat currency. All right. There's so much more to get into, but understand this. What's going on right now is it's a criminal enterprise at the highest levels of this government. It's out of control. And in addition to that, of course, you've got the gun bills coming. You've got the vaccine passports that they're forcing down our throats. So the bottom line, like I said yesterday, is it's do or die. You either are going to choose to live on your feet or die on your knees, because that's what they're forcing us into. They're forcing us into a confrontation. And if it would have been we can ask Dr. Parker, it would have been 100 or 245 years ago, 246 years ago, right, whatever my math is, we wouldn't be putting up with this. They wouldn't be putting up with this. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. And I appreciate you being kind and gentle with me on this, because there's so much that's involved in everything that we see taking place. Now to get us back on track, of course, is Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. By the way, folks, I want to thank those people from the bottom of my heart who signed up for the meetings. Now, we need more meetings. When I say meetings, a group of 10 or more, and Dr. Richard Proctor will, by way of Skype or Zoom or whatever, I guess Zoom, will come into your home or your church or your lodge or your den or your tent, I don't know, wherever you've got Zoom. He'll talk with you. The only requirement is 10 or more people, and you have a copy of, wait for it, Saving the Constitution.
And you have to have your COVID card.
And your COVID card, because he's going to be checking at the door.
He'll scan you in.
It's this one. See that little mark right there? Best-selling author. Mm-hmm. Saving the Constitution. So, the Hagman Report, hopefully he's received his funds by now, unless it went by Pony Express. But we assisted three groups, and hopefully there's more. Hopefully there's more. Dr. Richard Proctor, thank you so much for your patience. I know you're going to demand equal time. I know it. As well you should. But how are you today, sir?
Oh, today fine. Things are going well at this in this location today. Oh, by the way, just for interest, nothing exciting, just for interest, I didn't do any work yesterday. I want you to all know that. I took the day off. It was my 80th birthday. So I thought maybe I could take a day off.
Get out of town. First of all, you don't look a day over 30. Yeah, right. You look better than me. Happy birthday.
Yeah, well, I didn't want everybody to know. It happened yesterday. I just took the day off.
Okay, folks.
My wife and I did what we wanted to do.
In the program description box today is going to be Richard Proctor's email. So wish him a happy birthday. Send him an email. Wish him a happy birthday. And the address will be on there, too. You can send him cards, letters, gifts.
Gifts are always – gifts of money are always good. Oh, no, no. I didn't say that. Honest, I didn't say that.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. But I'm glad you didn't do any work. Because he's one of the hardest working guys I know.
We took a day off. My wife and I both. We didn't answer the phone.
We didn't go anyplace.
We didn't have anybody visit us except the family kids and all that. But nothing else.
Well, that's great. How you feel about it? Do you feel good?
Well, it was a good day. It was a busy day. It was a good day. Yes. Had nice cake and ice cream last night. Oh, yes. Good day. Enjoyed it.
So you're okay.
Ready to go. Ready to go. Yes.
Well,
now you've dampened it with the last half hour, of course.
And I apologize, but I had to get that out because there's so much going on.
Those envelopes are intriguing.
It can't be all summarized in an hour, 2 hour, 5 hour show. Cannot be. We are being destroyed, and we don't even pay any attention.
Yeah.
These meetings that you just spoke about. Okay, we've got about six right now scheduled coming.
Let's get about 600. Come on, let's make you work.
Yeah, I don't understand why I'm not being bowled over with these things. What you just said, I'll be in your home to ask any question you want, answer anything you want about the Constitution or what's happening politically, what the government's doing, anything we want to talk about. You're the guys who dictate it. I have stuff to say, but I'll lean to what you want. I should be inundated with these things. And I've talked to a lot of people that could not get a group together. Oh, I don't care. I don't want to. I know. I'm not going to. There's a good game that night. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to go to bed early that night. I got an appointment to do my hair. Whatever the reason is.
Well, I've got some emails that you haven't received yet. I have to send to you. I've been waiting for more people, actually more inquiries, but I'm going to send them off to you because I think there are people who want to get together that don't have, you know, they say either, well, you know, I don't know 10 people or, man, I'm having a hard time getting 10 people together. There are people who want to get together. So I'm going to give them to you so you can like get them together. If that makes sense. Is that right?
Yes, it makes sense, but it ruins the effect of the meeting.
Some of them are within like two, I can tell you right now, are within like 5 miles of each other.
Perfect.
And they just had coffee.
Help people do that. Okay. I don't have a clearinghouse here. It's just me and my wife, remember. But I prepared a document here. I could show it to you, but I don't have it right here. Oh, there it is right there. I'm going to put it up here. Hope it works. I prepared this document. Nobody can read because it doesn't work. The cameras don't work. I'm sorry, guys. I prepared a document. I'll email to anybody who wants. Let me tell you what it says.
Okay.
This is all in big print. Okay. No little things here at all. And all you have to do is hand it to people. You have to say a word. Are you concerned about the increase of gas prices, which is now about 75%? I mean, 75 cents on a gallon, more than it was 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago. Have you heard of the Convention of States? Do you want to know what it is and if it matters to you? Do you feel we are losing our country, our rights, and our freedoms? Do you want to know these answers and more? Ask me, that's the person they're doing it, ask me and I will tell you where and who can answer these questions. And it's an 8.5 by 11 sheet, black, easily read, big print. See if I can get just a little bit of it up there somehow.
Sneak it up. Sneak it up.
You can see some of the words.
Yeah.
It's just almost impossible.
Now you're gone.
Sorry, guys. It's almost impossible with this kind of a camera arrangement. Nonetheless, it's here. You guys want that? Just organize your group. I'll send it to you in a minute. We should be able to find people in every community that want to know about this. Everybody's sitting down complaining. I got some gas at the gas station. No, it wasn't yesterday. It was the day before. But anyway, I got it. One guy got 14 gallons, $50 for 14 gallons of gasoline. I saw the thing on the on the it was the guy before me at that pump. $50 for 14 gallons. Not too long ago, it'd be 24. But it's probably 30 about the turn of the, well, you guys figured out, you can. 15 gallons of gasoline, what did it cost January the 1st of this year? Just make an estimate. And I will estimate that in my environment at $30.
So why? Now, I know why? The answer, but why?
Oh, I know the answer. That's what I'm trying to get. I would think this particular question would get everybody in your place to listen to somebody who can talk about the economic side of it. This is the economic side of it. Why? Because that damn guy sitting in the White House closed the pipelines, closed fracking, closed the national borders. We can't produce gasoline anymore in our country. It's kind of like this, you guys. I'm going to make an illustration. My neighbor over here, just down the street, very nice guy, okay? He has in his backyard a tunnel, small tunnel. Down at the bottom of that tunnel, he mines gold. He gets it out a ton a day if he wants it, however much he wants. But he doesn't do that. He goes, he doesn't want to give any of that gold. No. And so he has to work hard every day, slaves constructing things. He does this and that and the other, goofs off. He has all that money in his basement, in his backyard, and he doesn't do anything with it at all. We're doing the same thing. We've got all this money, oil, in our country, under our soil, and we don't do anything with it at all because our government won't let us. Why are we putting up with that? And that's why it's called supply and demand. There's no supply. Demand pushes the price up. If there's lots of supply, the supply pushes the price down. We had lots of supply. We were still not getting everything we could, but we had lots of supply. The price was down. Here, one day, this blasted people who are going to save us, everybody, oh, yeah, we're going to get him. He's going to save us. Let's get rid of that damn Trump. Oh, yeah, we got to say, oh, yeah, but we'll do this. And those who didn't vote or who did vote and got cheated out of it anyway because of the government of your own state, those people are also suffering. And all you people that have your money stuffed under your mattress, you think inflation doesn't get that too? Folks, we're headed for a disaster. And you've got a gold mine in your backyard and you're not using it because, well, I just don't want to. I'll suffer.
You had me hooked there. I was about ready to ask for his address and go there myself, but
I ought to pass it out so everybody can go there. He's not using it. Yeah. Somebody ought to use it.
Well.
And you know, if you get gold that way, guys, just a thought, you get gold that way, you bring it out of your ground yourself until you spend it or use it, it's not taxable. So you can have tons of that stuff in your basement. If you don't use it, you don't tax it. Its base price is zero. But the minute you do use it or tax it, the base price goes to whatever you used it for.
You know, not to interrupt your train of thought, but I will do it anyway. I know a guy that wrote a book that explains this in great detail, and it's very easy to understand. Bathroom Economics. You know, I'm just saying, folks, this book, I learned more from this book than I did in a semester of economics. Okay. So, by a professor of economics, if that makes sense. This book
makes sense. Most economics professors only want to do one thing, show off their language and how much they know and how stupid you are. I guess that's two things.
Provis Institute.
That's what they want. That's their ego trip. That's their plan. They'll spend 2 weeks, 3 weeks even sometimes, month maybe in some classes, on talking about elasticity and inelasticity of supply and demand. Oh my, what did I just say? Well, it's very, very complicated. It works like this. Are you listening close now? Listen close. If you're in the jungle, the price of water is very inelastic. I mean, it can go up and down really fast. In the desert, the price of water is elastic. It'll stick there. It'll stay solid. Well, how about that? That chapter's over. where there's lots of something, prices move quickly. If there's little of something, prices move slowly. That's what that means. But I know I spent 2 or 3 weeks in classes trying to be taught all the different details of that to confuse us. Confusion is the game of the game. Obfuscation is the name of the game. I wrote that book so people can have something that they can learn economics in. That's why we have that's how we have an economics, political economics institute. Help people know what the bloomin' stuff economics is about. What's it about? And everybody takes classes in economics. That's a rule. You don't have to have taken them before, but you'll take them now. And by Jove, you'll understand why the mayor shouldn't do anything if the hurricane blows out the plywood supply in your hometown. You'll learn how to do that.
Man, I'll tell you what.
You'll learn what that's about.
You know, I learned a lot. When a book's index has the word celery, you know, indexed, you know, it's pretty thorough, but it's easy. Bathroom economics, provisinstitute.com, M1 money supply and so on. It answers really, I've got to say this, having read this again this past weekend for the very reasons you're talking about, the gas prices, because my wife, was saying, my gosh, you know, she was actually, she went on an errand past a gas station. It was one price. She came back. It was 15 cents more on her return trip, and it was like within 45 minutes.
And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. It appears to be plateauing now, but you can't be sure of that, because if they'll cut some more gas supplies, they'll begin to prohibit gas coming in tankers. They'll prohibit offloading tankers into the country. They'll do anything they want. They're the government. They don't care about you. They care about their power, and they want you taken in by it. Oh, my. Anyway, guys, that's just one subject.
Yeah.
I've got a PhD in economics. That's just one subject, and you can't get 10 people with that piece of paper to want to listen to this?
Do you think, speaking of that piece of paper, and I'm starting to think that people are beginning to question the narrative and wake up. Do you think that people, some people will never want the truth, but do you think that a lot of people are waking up?
Oh, yes, but the zombies don't. We have too many of those.
Okay.
Oh, the normal times will come back. We don't have to worry about that. No, it's all the same. The days will go on just like they are. Don't worry about it. Yeah, that's what the Russian people thought in 1918, 1917.
Yep.
That's what they thought, too, until 20. And then by 22, they were living a new life.
The survivors were, anyway.
Yeah, the survivors absolutely were. So many of them didn't make it. They were taken to brainwashing camps, what means they wash your brain out of your head when you. That's what brainwashing really means. Washing your brain out of your head. You don't do well without that brain.
That's right. And I must say, on Monday, I made a joke, but really not a joke, but the most washed part of one's body in the year 2020 was the brain. Our brains.
Yes.
Not your hands, but your brain. So, brainwashing. Yeah. We you know, it's amazing. But speaking, I wanted to ask you this. Did you get my check?
Not yet. I haven't gotten it yet. I figure there's a mule somewhere stuck.
It was sent.
It'll come. I'm not worried.
There, you see, you could tell, folks, this is not scripted, because if it was, he would have said, oh, yeah, I got it. Thank you very much. It's out there. It's, I don't know, Pony Express. But
we've got to dig the gold up first.
Got to dig the gold up first, yeah. All right.
I want to mention another thing about these meetings, okay?
Sure.
I want to mention, you know, people are doing it. They are. I got a call yesterday from a young lady that says, I've got 20, 25 people here ready to start. Tell me when. And so we set up a date. Now, when you go talk to these people, remember, have you ever guys ever heard of fair weather patriots? Do you know what a fair weather patriot is? That's somebody who shows up in the summertime when it's comfortable. We have a flock of foul weather patriots. And we need more foul weather patriots. We don't have enough foul weather patriots. Foul weather patriots are those who come no matter what the weather is. Zig Ziglar used to give a good illustration. If I take a minute and do that, he would say, he was a sales guy. He sold pots. Mostly he just sold kitchen pots. He'd go to somebody and he'd say, well, you know, I can't really do this right now. The kids are just getting out of school and we got things to do. I'll plan on doing it in the middle of summer, in August or something. In August comes on. Well, you know, we had all these activities and this vacation time and you know, we're doing stuff with the family, got a vacation to go on. I'll do it in September after school starts and the kids are back in school. Well, you know, we just got all these things just happening in school when you're talking. And all these things are just happening right now in school. And I'm doing with the kids, doing the things. But talk to me next month when those kinds of things fall down. Well, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up and Christmas. We got all these things to do. I'll see you after the first of the year. Oh, well, you know, we got all this coming. Mother's Day's coming and Valentine's Day and the kids have got to get ready for school. And we're right back where we started and we haven't done a damn thing. And that's exactly what Zig Ziglar said.
You know, Zig Ziglar was one of the finest people I've ever heard speak. And I saw him in New York City at the Waldorf back in 1980, 81.
I've been to live presentations. I guess he wasn't dead. Live presentations. I've seen, I have videos. I got videos of him. I got cassette recordings I could play on my cassette player. That's how long ago it was. In my cars, I drove places. Oh, yes. I read all of his books. Oh, yes. Zig Ziglar knew what he was doing.
You know, we need Patrick Henrys. We need more Patrick Henrys now than ever before.
Well, you know, we have a lot of them. Actually, you and I and anyone else who's really out in the open are doing the same thing.
Do you think... Okay, here's what I'm sensing, and I need to, because you're my elder, and again, I've got a lot of respect. In all seriousness, folks, I have a lot of respect for Dr. Richard Proctor. He does have, he's a very intelligent man, and he's seen a lot, he's experienced a lot, but I am sensing this, more than a keyboard, more than internet muscles, more than talk. I'm sensing this, I'm sensing right now where people are, they've had enough. And am I wrong?
But we just got to organize. We the people, those people who are listening to us, are we going to be fair weather patriots or foul weather patriots? I'm a foul weather. I'm going to do it no matter what the weather is. Fair weather patriots, they don't show up until it's easy. Are you one of the foul or one of the fair? You shouldn't really want to be foul, but that's what we're talking about. Foul weather is when people are interested in something, do it. Fair weather is when they get around to it, when they get around to it. So Zig used to pass out round to it. Now you've got a round to it, now get busy. He had coins. He pass out round to it. Yep. He'd pass out round to us. Now you've got a round to it. Get busy.
I actually had a boss give me one of those. And yes. It was pretty insulting. I deserved it. But you know, you're right. For a lot of us, it's going to, you know, the line is going to be more definitive when the cable is cut off or when the internet's cut off or when your wife or you are, you know, taken off to a re-education camp or when they come for your guns or, you know, now, up until now, it's been, just a lot of flexing of internet muscles and keyboard, you know, Dr. Richard Proctor is a guy that does things, and that's why the meetings are important. And people might say, what meetings? What are you talking about? If you haven't heard, just to reiterate this, folks, contact Dr. Richard Proctor. Get a group of 10 or more at your house, at your lodge, at your church, wherever it might be, and he'll spend at least an hour. The only requirement is buy this at wholesale. Wrong one.
The other, right. Saving the Constitution. The most important book I've ever written. I've got 10. That's it right there. The right. most important.
Buy this at wholesale plus shipping and yes. get 10 people.
It winds up to be $12.25. I mean, okay. $13.25 a book. That's what it winds up at.
All right. So.
And I don't care how many books I ship at that price. I've got them right here. I have 1,000 of them sitting right here waiting to go out tomorrow.
And there it is. And you'll get information about how to do things. It's good
we
stuff.
Must organize. People are contacting me about sanctuary counties now, and that's a good thing. I'm glad of it. And I refer them to Noah Davis because he has all the information. Noah Davis has all the information. I just give you I send you an email that has all of his contact points and all of his questions and his answers. It's a small print and it's a pretty long email. But I make sure you get it so you can do what you need to do. People are asking about that. They're wanting to do it. But here's something very important about a sanctuary county. Organize one. I've got one. Now, when the federal government, the federal marshals, or somebody shows up to violate that, what are you going to do? Stand in the corner, stand in the house on the porch and say, well, you can't come here. This is a sanctuary county. You go home, please. And you know what? He ain't gonna. I was up talking to a group of people who have a Second Amendment sanctuary group. And I says, okay, guys, you have a Second Amendment sanctuary group. That's very fine. How are you going to enforce it? What do you have? What kind of organization do you have to make sure that's not violated? You know, there's something about a Second Amendment sanctuary too. People say they've got one and that implies that that's all they're going to do is keep guns. I want to read to you what the Second Amendment says. And I want you guys please to pay attention just a little bit. These not a lot. Yeah. Just a little bit in case you've been asleep.
Okay.
Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia, I'm going to paraphrase a little, a well-regulated militia is necessary for the security of Iowa. Free state. Security of a free state. What does security of a free state mean? That you can have a gun? Yes. What does the security of a free state mean? It means you're not going to be forced to take a vaccination because it's a free state. A free state, free county, free city, something. Well-regulated militia is necessary for the security of your community. That's what that says. And what do you want to secure? Everything. The Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment. Have you read it yet? The right of the people to be secure in their persons. The right of the people to be secure in their houses. The right of the people to be secure in their papers. The right of the purpose to be, of the people to be secure in the effects against unreasonable search and seizures by the federal government. That's okay. What it says. I read it a little different than the words are there.
But that's what it says. Caught that. Yeah.
Now, folks, this book is invaluable, but you don't know anything about it.
Okay. Now,
and I think it's great that we're doing all these sanctuary committee meetings, counties. I think that's absolutely great. I applaud it. Okay. Now, how are you going to enforce it?
Well, and that's some, okay, because, one of the big things I'm seeing is, well, you know, with the gun legislation being proposed, the argument there is, hey, that was meant for militias back in the Revolutionary War days, or the, you know, when the Constitution was drafted.
It was meant for militias. Yes, that's right, it was.
Okay.
Yes.
Now that's the hook that they're hanging their hat on.
Oh, they shouldn't hang their head on that, Doug. They shouldn't.
I'm talking about the opposition or the people who are pushing the gun laws. Okay, go ahead.
But you see, if you just use that analysis, oh, you mean just the militias? Well, the militias were everybody in the community, and they all had their own guns.
Right. Right.
Okay. Yep. That's what we want. Just a militia, and they all are there. Everybody in the community, and they all had their own guns. But if they didn't have cannon, guess who provided it? If they didn't have food, uniforms, that kind of stuff, guess who provided it? The federal government. That's what's supposed to happen. That's what the Constitution says. Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 15 and 16 says, have to have a militia. The federal government will provide the means for you to do it. That's what it says. Of course, we know that won't happen. But the state will. But the state won't either. The people will. Now, here's a question that's very important. It's been brought up before, and it's an important point. I will make this point right now. The book says state militia. It doesn't say county militia. Doesn't say city militia. Doesn't say community of militia. The book says state militia. So we're confined to state militias, aren't we? Well, maybe not. Just maybe not. I'm going to look in the Saving the Constitution book that everybody would like to have. And I'm going to read in the very, very first beginning of it, the Declaration of Independence. I'll be darned. Does that still apply? I'll be darned. Well, let me see what it says here. It says, whenever any form of government becomes as destructive of these ends, which means your inalienable God-given rights, it is the right of the people, the responsibility of the people, to alter or abolish it and put something in its place that's right. Now, that applied to England. That applies to the United States government today.
All right.
Right now.
Now.
And you can make a list of errors as long as the Declaration of Independence list is. Your authority to do it is the Declaration of Independence if the state won't. That's your authority. And one of the governments you need to alter or abolish is the state.
How do we go? Okay.
That's a good question. That's a question that has to be answered in each place.
Okay.
But it has to be done. You have to do it. You have to sit down. First you have to know what you're sitting down to do. You have to know why. You have to know the reason. You have to know something about this book right here. I'm going to try to get it up. This book right here. This one. There's a good picture. That one, folks. Get that. You've got to know something about that document. It's only 4,000 words long.
Yeah, for the radio audience, that's the Constitution. So
yeah, you put the amendments on the end of it. It's still only just under 8,000 words. That's just a few pages. You could read it if you just sat down to read it in no time at all, but you won't know what you read. You can pick up Saving the Constitution book, read it in pieces, and understand what you're reading.
That's an important distinction, because the arguments that I see by the gun grabbers are saying, well, that's an outdated, or they're misrepresenting what the Constitution provides. And that's a problem, because it's difficult to debate, argue a point if you are not familiar with the source document, which is the Constitution. And you can't. Go ahead.
I'm going to interrupt you. Just take an illustration of Schumann. Is that how I'm saying that right? Or Senator Schumann? Is that right?
Schumer.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, that guy. Yeah. Him. He got the Constitution out, and he read here where it says that the impeachment or, it doesn't say or, it says and. Okay. Let me see. I want to get the exact spot where it says it. Oh, I'm not going to be able to find it quick enough. I'm in Article 3 already. Anyway, what it says is impeachment and prohibition to hold the offices. Now, that's not precisely correct, but that's what it says. And so he stopped. He said, we're going to have a court to prohibit because he's not a member of them. He's not any longer president. So we're going to prohibit him based upon the Constitution to not hold any public office. Folks, the word is and. Impeach and. The word is and. It's not or. It's right. And. There's not a comma. It's and. This and this. This and this. Bacon and eggs. Doesn't mean you have eggs or bacon. It means bacon and eggs. You go to the restaurant, you order bacon and eggs. What do you expect? Eggs. That's not what the Constitution says. And it's as clear as that. That's what and means. When I order bacon and eggs, I expect to have bacon and eggs both. That's what that says. If you're going to impeach the other, if you're going to convict him of impeachment or convict him of being impeached. The House impeaches, the Senate convicts. If the Senate convicts him, he's impeached and can't hold any other office. But if he can't be impeached, he can't. The other part doesn't apply. It's not there. You don't do one or the other. Doesn't say or. Impeach or. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say impeach, comma, or. It says impeach and. But Schumer didn't know that. He didn't pay attention because he knows the Constitution. He's a senator of the United States. He can make, and I'm going by the Constitution. And that's what these people all talked about while they're doing the Electoral College. We'll go by the Constitution. Garbage. You didn't do, not one thing happened in this last election. Not one thing was in accordance with this book. Not one thing. So why can they pick it apart and say, oh, well, I know the Constitution. This is what the Constitution says. No, not one thing in this entire election series followed the Constitution. Not one thing.
How... Well, I was going to say, I was going to ask, how can they get away with that? How did they get away with that? Because we let them get away with it.
That's right. We don't pay attention. Oh, well, that's okay. Oh, it's all right. Pass me another beer, Mabel. It's all right. Oh, let's watch the sports game. It's all right. Have a picnic. It's all right. No sweat.
But
we'll have a new one.
Now, when, on the other hand, when we had patriots show up at the Capitol on January 6th, things went sideways a little bit there because of the provocateurs. And I have to say this, folks, the left is going to be very disappointed because it's going to be watered down to misdemeanor charges of disorderly conduct or something equivalent. But having said that, you know, this goes back to the question I had earlier. Are the sense that I'm getting now, there are more people who want to return to the Capitol, but they want to return armed. And I say that as an observation.
That's the difference. And they build a big fence, and that encourages it.
You know
the fence encourages revolt. It doesn't discourage it. It encourages it.
Yeah. And, you know, if they were truly doing the people's business, Dr. Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, if they were really doing the people's business, would they need a fence like that?
Mm. No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't need one. Nobody would be concerned. Nobody would say a word. We haven't for 200 years when they weren't doing the business. Yep. Now they're doing it so poorly, they want to have a fence because they think we'll come and shoot them. But you see, if they weren't doing stuff so poorly, they wouldn't have to worry about us coming and shooting them because we won't do that. Nobody will. We got other things to do with our life. We don't have to run to Washington, D.C. That's a hardship. So let's build a fence to keep them out. Well, that's kind of like saying you can't have a cookie, period. We're going to put them in the and lock them in the safe.
I'll tell you what.
You think maybe the kids might figure out a way to get in the safe or in the cupboard because they can have one now because you told them they couldn't have one?
that's one way. Yeah, that's I see you've raised teenagers. Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Children.
Three of them, yeah.
Okay.
And they've all raised teenagers now, too. I have four great-grandkids that are taking care of our grandchildren.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, the psychology remains pretty consistent throughout. So, you know, here we are, we're being pushed and pushed. It's kind of like somebody, you know, one thing I can't tolerate is somebody poking me in the chest. Okay. Or getting in my face, getting too close to me. I just can't tolerate that, but that's where I think the American people are at right now. The government is kind of just poking and poking. And the reaction that they're going to get, I got a feeling, is not going to be a good one. Now, what you're trying to do, and correct me if I'm wrong, what you're trying to do is organize a equitable constitutional response, right? I mean, that's...
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what I want to organize. I don't want to organize a Declaration of Independence with guns and rifles to go out and shoot people. No, I don't want to do that. Let's just be organized in our area. Criminals have a tendency to run from organized people.
Yes.
They have a tendency to do that. They have a tendency to not go where there's going to be a problem. The rioters showed that over the last summer. If a place had something organized, they didn't go there. If they didn't have something organized, they went there because they don't want to go someplace. Gun-free zones are the encouragement for criminals. Ah, there won't be anybody there with guns. It's against the law. They won't be there. Boy, I'll be safe. I'll be safe when I go shoot them. But if they have guns, they might shoot me, so I won't go there. If you would organize your counties, organize your states, organize your communities so that you can say no, and they know you can say no, they won't come and ask you the question. That's what they meant by strategic deterrence all during the Cold War.
Right.
If we've got enough to wipe them out, they won't do anything.
And we've seen, so we've seen the enemy do this. The George Soros, Alexander Soros of the world, him and others like him do this. For example, the district attorney of Los Angeles, that was a Soros-funded campaign. He was put in there by Soros, and look what he's doing. He's tossing out the rule of law in Los Angeles, in Los Angeles County. And there are others all across the United States. So why don't we become organized and do the same and fight
right.
with a measured response?
That's right.
And we can do that. We can do that.
Yeah. And all you really have to do is be organized. Typically, nothing more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Typically, nothing more. But if you're not organized and you make a sanctuary county and you don't do anything but do that, then that's kind of a draw. They're going to have a county that keeps me out. No siree, Bob. No siree. I'm going in to stop that. That's the direction. But if you have a county that's going to keep them out, they've got a county going to keep us out, but they're organized. Let's go to the county that isn't organized.
Is that how it's going to play out, do you think? I mean,
good.
So, okay. All right.
That's good. All depends on the people. Depends on us. Depends on the meetings I'm organizing? No. It depends on people going to those meetings. That's what it depends on. If we only have 10, the interest is not there. But if we have 1,000, then the interest is there, and maybe we will get something done. But if we only have 10 meetings, well, you know, it's only 100 people. And it'll be all spread scattered over the U.S. I mean, I've got stuff happening on every coast, both all over the country, all over the country. They're all individual places. They're not united together because there's no tie-in, no groups right next to them, no more. I've got some people talking about, I don't remember the state. Please don't ask me. They're in the county. They're starting to do it. The people next to them want to do it too. And the people next to them want to do it. That's what will happen if we just would start.
Yep. And we're trying to thread together on our end, other initiatives that include yours, which is why this is important. So, the initiatives that we're doing here with other like-minded, conservative, again, I use the phrase thought leaders or the descriptive term thought leaders, in order to propel the movement forward so we don't have to go to war over this, because I sense that we're going to go to war if this is not fixed soon. I mean, now,
yes. You know? See, now look, you guys are organizing and preparing to do something. But if you don't have any people to work with you, it's been a fun job. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
If there's no people, you won't be able to do anything.
And you've hit that right on the head. Folks would be surprised to learn, not everyone, but many of the people behind microphones are not like Alex Jones, or not like David Knight, or not like us. They don't want to get involved in that, you know. And it's a sad state of affairs at that level. It's a sad state of affairs, which is why, you know, I say right now that we are attempting to prevent bloodshed, because the alternative. What's the alternative? Bloodshed.
Yes, it is the other side to it, or slavery and just give up. That's another alternative.
Sure. Yeah. That
could be. Are we ready to do that? Is that a plan?
No. Not in this household, not in this studio, not in this room, not around me. And that's
what I'm trying to reach out to help people do that very thing. So they've got a plan.
Okay.
Which is good. Be together. I can't even get it done in my own community. I go out there and talk to the people and give them this. They don't come to, nowadays, at the beginning, when people came to my home and they had a mask on, I wouldn't let them in. They went away. Today, they come without a mask. Because they know that if we go to his house, we can't wear one. So let's just do that. And they don't wear them. Oh, I've got to tell you a story. Now, I think this is germane to everybody out there. This happened this last weekend. My daughter's, I'm going to say it this way. My daughter isn't, my granddaughter is an excellent harpist. Wow, she really can play the harp. I like the harp. So she had an hour concert just in her community, and the people all came. I mean, there must have been 40 or 50 people from her community in that room to listen to her play the harp for an hour. And they liked it. Now let me paint the picture. There was a sign on the door when you went in. 6 feet apart, wear masks. Okay, so they all came in. All except three. My wife, me, and my daughter. Not the daughters whose child is playing the harp. My other daughter. Anyway, we're the only ones that didn't wear a mask. Period. The room is full of masks. And anybody talked to me, I said to them, you know what? I could understand you if you didn't have that face diaper on your face. I'm known for that phrase now. Anyway, see, so they're all wearing masks. Every one of them sitting there in their chairs next to one another. I mean, the chairs were this chair butted, this chair butted, this chair butted, this. The whole group was in a round circle, you know, just like it used to be. But they all were wearing masks, sitting right next to each other. Now, time for refreshments. They had goodies. People went out, took off their masks, picked up a plate so they could have goodies. Now they stood around talking to each other with a plate. No mask and goodies.
Yeah.
If they had a plate with goodies in their hand, they didn't wear their mask. But when they finished their goodies and threw it away, walked back into the other room, put their mask back on. Now, I want you folks to know how smart this bug is, because it knows that in this room, I can infect you. But in this room where you're not wearing one, there's food, I can't. So I'm not going to be there. I'm only going to be in this room, because this room is the only place that they're wearing masks. So this is the only place I can be. Any place they're not wearing masks, I can't go there. It's like the county borders. This county infects everybody. That county doesn't infect anybody. Those guys know the line. They know the border. The bug knows the border. Now, do you see how stupid this is?
Oh, now, of course.
After the meeting, after the gathering, half of the group gathered at my daughter's home. We went there. All those people that were in the meeting room listening to the harp, wearing those masks, sitting right next to each other, and had to, if I had said, well, if I talked to my daughter and I criticize her for not understanding that this is a hoax, she gets so mad at me, she won't talk to me for a week. But I went to her home, she didn't wear a mask, and neither did anybody else. That was all okay. But if I'd have criticized them, say, you gotta wear a mask, but I wouldn't have said it that way. I'd said, you know, you guys know this is a hoax, don't you? No, we do not. It's very important that you wear a mask. What are all those people doing sitting at that long table, sitting next to one another, elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder, talking across the table, not a mask in the building?
All right.
All those same people had to wear a mask in the other room because it was so important to wear a mask to be safe.
So this is a question people have. How do you handle this? Because, again, the majority of people who say, you know what, this far and no farther, they draw a line in the sand. So my question to you is, if they will capitulate and subjugate themselves to wear a face diaper, how do you get them to do anything else or not do anything else? How do you get them to disobey the civil disobedience? How do you personally convince them what they're doing is stupid?
I don't wear one anywhere and everybody knows it.
Right. Nor do I.
My whole community knows it. And when they come now, they don't wear one.
Okay, so let's, because I know a lot of people have this, I get emails and people are so frustrated because, you know, what do I do? How can I convince these people? How can I convince my neighbor? How can I convince my sister-in-law? How can I convince my kids? How can I convince, insert relationship here.
It has become a religion.
It has. Yes, it has.
And people can't be convinced to leave their religion.
So do you give up on them? I mean, do you say, okay,
I just
fine.
Don't pay any attention. I don't say anything anymore. I just don't let them in my home. And okay. I never wear a mask where I am. Never.
All right. Which,
but this group of people in that community, they all knew that they could go in the home and not wear a mask, and they all came. The same one. Some of those people were wearing masks when they came outside, walking to the home. They were wearing their mask that they took off when they went in the house.
Okay. Now here's, I don't know whether you saw this, because this relates to exactly what you're saying. And this, I believe, is a constitutional issue. It's also a theological issue, not a theological issue, but it's a issue of church and state. Which I understand the volatility of that phrase. But there was, I don't know whether you saw this, a young lady by the first name of Deidre in Dallas, Texas. She was at a Catholic church, and she had just received communion. She's pregnant. She was holding her one-year-old child kneeling, and three police officers came in at the behest of the priest in charge, not giving the mass, but the priest in charge of the diocese there, or the church, and she was cited for trespassing. Because they said, you got to get out. Now, there are a number of factors here. In a church, practicing her religion, it's a 501c3. The police came in, made her leave, and cited her. It's my understanding they cited her. I have to verify that. I'm not sure of the disposition of that. But there are so many elements here. Again, we've got a church, 501c3. And there she is right there. I played this yesterday. I guess my questions are many about this. Do they have the authority? Do they have the power?
You asked two questions. They have the power. They do not have the authority.
That's a pretty difficult statement to make, or a pretty good statement to make when you got three cops hovering over your pregnant wife holding a child saying, okay, you know.
See, those cops have the authority to cuff her and haul her out. And they are. I've seen videos of people, I think it was Australia, being beaten literally almost to death by cops, several standing over the same person beating them while they're on the ground.
Right.
Because they weren't wearing a mask or social distancing or something like that.
Man, okay.
Let me pose something. Here's a thought. Let's have that particular community be a constitutional sanctuary community. Mm. Let's just do that. Let's say that. Nice people there. Couldn't tell how she was nice because she wears a blasted mask. But anyway, let's say they have a sanctuary county. And in the sanctuary county, they say, you don't have to wear masks. And that'll be part of a free, because Constitution says you have your rights. Okay, and they can't violate those rights. Those are God-given. So, sanctuary county says that. An enforced sanctuary county would have militia keeping the young lady safe how she wants to be.
But by your definition, wouldn't the militia be her husband or be fellow church members? Because the other part of this...
Organized militia. You see, there's something in here, Doug, that's another part of this. If you have an organized militia, those kinds of things won't come up, because the militia people will know why they're in a militia and why it's a sanctuary county. It won't even happen.
Okay.
It's because there's no organization. You see, the police won't do that. They'll be a part of the militia too.
But don't we have this in Florida? Governor DeSantis saying, okay, there's no mask mandate for the state of Florida, yet you have pockets of insanity down there where, you know, masks are required? I mean, or is this, am I thinking improperly here?
Your thinking will be correct, because I believe that when finally all the governments say you can't have masks, you don't need masks, there's no mandate, okay? I believe there will be people going around yelling and carrying on at people who are not.
Right, the mask
Nazis. Just because they've been taught you must or you won't be safe. Gotta be safe, gotta be safe. If you don't wear a mask, I'm not safe. Ah! And I say to them, you're wearing one, you're already safe for me, I don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about me, you got a mask on, don't worry about it. But I really say, you shouldn't be wearing one either. What's going on here?
But the difference is you're not forcing them to take them off. You're saying, but you're saying, don't force me to wear one.
And yes, that's it. I think I should have the same privilege they have.
Right.
Wear it if you want, but I'm not gonna.
Right.
And had they had an organized militia understanding what the Constitution is for that militia, the problem wouldn't even have come up. Now there's a worse one than that.
Okay.
There's a worse case than you just mentioned and showed the video of. I wish I read it, but I didn't keep track of it, and that's too bad. This young lady dropped her daughter off to go to school. She was in her car. She was driving away. Her daughter put her mask on to go into the school, and her daughter was in the school. Here comes a school official stopping her as she was driving away. You're not wearing a mask. No, I understand that. And she left. Okay, what happened? They took her child away from her. She has no more visitation rights. She has to wear a mask in her own home. If anybody comes, the police, the people enforces all of this because nobody's around to help her.
Right. Now that involved, just for clarity's sake, that involved a custody battle with the husband.
Yes.
Okay.
Involved all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, the courts all took the position of she's wrong and put a mask on her else.
Right. So
nobody said you have constitutional rights for anything.
Okay.
You see that?
Yeah, I do.
See, that's the difference. That's what's going on. People don't know what this blasted book says. I'm banging the book, so yeah. They don't know what this book says. They're not learning it. They don't care. They're complacent until something bad happens. Then they wish they knew, and they wish they had somebody else around them that knew.
Okay.
Let's do it before the bad things happen.
All right. Well, then, okay, so let's take this one step further. We see New York now, El Duce Cuomo saying, all right, we are going to require a digital vaccination passport. That's where we're going to require that. In other words, the state is saying that because he's got the power of the state behind him as governor, at least that's.
Of course, they don't have a militia, and they don't have all those people that are against it to form a militia for counties and communities. They don't have that. Therefore, they can do that. Because the people aren't speaking up. They're saying, okay, I'll just do whatever you say. Yes, master.
Well, what you're going to see, though, I think, is this fracturing, because people are going to say, oh, no. Well, I'm not getting the jab. So you're going to see a fracturing of the people of the communities in New York State. I guess.
Don't you think we already have that fracturing?
Well, okay, let me rephrase that. You're going to see some bloodshed when they say you can't buy milk, you can't go in that store to buy milk. You're either going to see that or a combination of that and or a black market or a rebellion. Are we not?
Yes, those are all the options. And so what I'm trying to get the point across over and over and over again, you have to give up New York. People in New York, if you don't like it, move. Did I say that?
Yeah. What about the people who don't? What about doctor? What about people who don't have the money to move? I'm just asking the question.
There's always problems, okay?
Yeah.
There's always problems. We cannot solve every problem, but we can solve an awfully lot of them if anybody would just learn what this book says, so they would know their rights. Nobody even knows what the Fourth Amendment says. They've never read it. They don't understand it. And if they did, they'd just pass it off. It's confusing.
But even if they knew what the Fourth Amendment said, the governor and the police and the community mass Nazis or vaccine Nazis aren't following the Fourth Amendment. So what the heck? I guess now what? And this is on the screen.
Okay,
there.
Here we go. Yeah. I'm still going to go back to the same thing: the right of the people to alter or abolish that government. Folks, we've got to get full here. We've got to do something. We must. We don't do anything, it's just going to get worse. There's no upside to this. If you don't do anything at all, watch. But if you do things, watch the places who didn't, while you don't have to.
So what you're essentially what you're saying is we either organize into militias, constitutional militias, or we become, I don't want to say vigilantes, but we're on our own and we're fighting to the death.
Yes.
Because that's what we're going
to say. Either organize or we fight to death. By the way, last week, I was not clear in what I said. I waffled back and forth. I'm sorry, folks. I was wrong. I've been called out about it.
Okay. I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Okay. I told people that even though Christians, maybe you still would wear masks just so you wouldn't get in trouble because they're coming down on us because we're Christians. That was the wrong thing to say, and I'm sorry I said it. I wish it wasn't written down.
Wait a minute. I'm not sure I took that away from what you said, but okay.
Oh, but a lot of people did. A lot of people did. I got emails. A lot of people did. And I must apologize. It wasn't clear. I did not mean to say, don't wear a mask. Or I did not mean to say, wear a mask to hide the fact that you're a Christian because it's Christians they're choosing. I did not mean to say that. But that's how a lot of people thought I said, and maybe I did.
Okay.
What I really meant to say was, know the purpose for the mask.
Right.
And then wear one if you want to, but know the purpose.
That's what I got out of it. Man, and forgive me if I.
But that's what I want to make sure is clear. You must know the purpose. The purpose of these masks is to divide and conquer us, the people.
And that's an excellent point. And to your point last week, I thought that was an excellent point. Look, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. God bless you. Go with God. Godspeed. Love you. You know. What's that? Oh, this is a picture in a church. And if you look at the insanity here, okay? This kind of dovetails with what you were talking about, masks. And of course, this goes into the, genetically engineered, vaccine, non-vaccine. Check the signs out. Not yet vaccinated, you know, masks and social distancing required in the pews and sit over here. Vaccinated, sit over here, but still wear a mask. This points to what you've been saying about the divide and conquer, doesn't it? And this is in the Christian church.
Yes. Now, I'd like to say something. My wife brought something to my attention here.
All right.
The other day that I had not thought of. And I think it's a very astute observation. Let me try to relay what she said. I'm going to try to make sure I say it right. She said, you know, we've been given the Ten Commandments. The reason that we've been given the Ten Commandments is for us to have communities in which we can live united together. Don't steal from your neighbors. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet things. Don't kill anybody. Honor your parents. See, these are things to have a good, solid, united community. Everybody can work together. They can do stuff together. If someone comes along to destroy the community, they cause violations of those very things. They cause violations. It's a part of violate. The law of God is to have freedom to do those things. Freedom. If we walk into a communist society where we're controlled and we're slaves, then we've had all those freedoms taken away from us. All of our God-given freedoms are taken away from us. And that's worse violation than the individual commandments of the Ten Commandments because it's violating the whole thing.
It's a good
because
point.
It's kind of like saying we are allowing or it's happening to us that we're allowing ourselves to be segregated and moved away so that, and we're not, therefore the people causing us to do that are violating all of the commandments, not just personally, you're not murdering anybody, but in fact, people are dying from taking the vaccine, so they are murdering people, okay? In fact, they're getting, people are getting adverse reactions that destroy their lives, okay? They are violating those things. They are taking away from people. They are stealing. They're stealing our money. They're stealing our jobs. They're stealing our environment. They're stealing the hell our health because wearing masks are terribly unhealthy. They're stealing our social contact. They're stealing all these things. They are destroying the Ten Commandments, just not saying that.
That's true. And speaking to a predominantly Christian audience, you've got to understand that, the Constitution was based, and correct me, you're the professor here. God bless you. You're the professor. The Constitution was really based on the Ten Commandments, the Judeo-Christian ethos, I suppose.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Absolutely right.
All right. All right.
And anything that violates this Constitution is violating our God-given rights. Anything that violates this document. And people will say, well, you know, they're just men that wrote it. Yes, they are just men that wrote it. But when you read Article 2, Section 1, Paragraph 3, 2 and 3, you discover inspiration from God that has never been done before. Therefore, I take that as pure inspiration from God to these people. And they wrote it. They've never seen it before. It never happened. But it's a perfect program to elect a president. We threw it away really quickly. We don't do it anymore. But there it is. That's a manifestation of the fact that this document in its entirety, all of this document up to the amendments in its entirety, is absolutely inspired. Everything. After the 10th Amendment, we have to be careful what we say is inspired or not.
Right.
But up to the 10th Amendment, the real document to the 10th Amendment, that part of it is inspired by God, 100% of it. The only thing the first 10 amendments do is clarify some of the things that were meant in the Constitution itself that weren't clear. That's the only thing they do. And the ninth is really good because it says, if we didn't mention in the Constitution a right, you still have it.
In other words, the ninth amendment, just for clarity's sake, limits the powers of the government. In other words,
absolutely. Limits them completely.
Right.
I have the right to exclude people from my presence. I have that right. It's not written in the Constitution or the Ten Amendments. So I don't lose it just because it's not written. That's what the Ninth Amendment says. You still have your rights even if we didn't write them down because it was too detailed.
Are we beyond the point now? Let me rephrase that question. Do you believe, based on everything that we're seeing today, that we are living in a post-constitutional republic?
No, we're living in a post-constitutional non-republic.
Non-republic. Thank you for that. Yeah, and you're right. Can you clarify that non-republic part of it? Because I think people might say, what do you mean by that? Folks, saving the Constitution. This is the book. And you'll know why. You'll know what he means. But if for the listeners and viewers, clarify that, please, if you don't mind.
You see, we're living in a non-republic because the representatives we elect don't pay any attention to us. They're not paying attention to us. They're paying attention to the money it takes to get reelected. So they go to all the people who are trying to control us to get their money from them so they can be reelected. And we watch the sound bites and reelect people who are violating our constitutional rights every day. Now today, we could also say that the voting machines are fixed so that we can't take them out anyway. And that's true. But you see, the only reason that's true is because we've been doing things in the past that brought this to this point. And now we're in a spot. If we had not been doing these things in the past, we wouldn't be to this point. Now I'm saying, please organize yourself so you won't get to the bad point that's coming.
That's right.
And if you don't do anything, you'll be in that point. You've got to be organized. And where are you going to organize? You're going to organize in your communities for sure. And then you're going to fix your state. You know, people are saying, and it's absolutely true, that you've got to fix your state, or this thing can't be fixed until you fix your state. And I'm going to say one step more. It can't be fixed until you fix yourselves. Till the majority of us are fixing ourselves. And we know what this Constitution means, what our rights are, what God wants us to have. And you can't learn that in school. You can't learn that anywhere but by understanding what the Constitution says. And nobody's teaching it but me.
Well,
nobody.
I mean, yeah, it's yes, yes. Now, to your point, because people might say, well, it's too late. Eric the Tech and I were talking about buying ammunition, in theory, of course, you know, and we were having a discussion. And this addresses your point. And the conversation went something like this. When do you think the – or you know, when was the best time to buy ammunition? Well, 10 years ago. Well, when would be then the next best time to buy ammunition? Today. The point is, and it was a part of a much longer conversation, the point is, yeah, so we screwed up by not buying ammunition 10 years ago, but is it still available? Yep. So is it pricier? Yep. So we should do it today. So in other words, you know, it's, we can't give up. We have to go out and, hey, bite the bullet, so to speak, and buy ammo. So we have to bite the bullet and do something. In other words,
right. I agree with you 100%. You always have to know where you are.
Right.
If you know where you are, you know what to do for the future. But if you don't know where you are, and that includes not knowing what the government's doing to you, okay? It includes that. Because if you don't know what the government's doing to you, you don't know where you are in that regard either. What could the government do today? That's a good question. What could this federal government do today? What could your state government do today? What could they do? Well, if they could do it, then it's likely they may do it sometime in the future. Because governments are power, force. That's what governments are. So if the government wants to force you to do something, they don't do it today, but they want to, they can at some future date. If you want to prevent that from happening at some future date, fix yourself now so the government knows that you're already organized to not allow that to happen, and it won't happen. But if you don't do anything, the government is going to see how much they can get away with. And notice how much they are. January the 1st of 2020, January the 1st of 2020, no one had any inkling of what it would be like January the 1st of 2021. But they never even thought of what could it be? And that's what this book teaches you, what to do to prevent what could happen.
And there's no, and just to be clear, because again, if we don't get our stuff together, and by getting our stuff together, meaning if we don't get together, if we don't start marshaling our forces into militias, into groups, into communities, then I don't see anything other than bloodshed and misery in the future. I mean,
yes,
that's
now,
it.
You brought it up before we came on, before I came on. You brought it up. You talked about people who are I had it in my mind while you were talking. The idea is that people are. I'm sorry, Doug. It flew the coop. I'm sorry.
They're at the end of their ropes. Okay, people right now are. The keyboard warriors are now about ready to be street warriors, but, you know, by themselves or, you know, without any kind of backing. In other words, you're going to see a whole bunch of Michael Douglas's, that movie, Falling Down, pretty soon. Okay, I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. You know, that kind of stuff. When we don't need to go there,
we need to do something now.
Yeah.
Today. You know, that information, this is not what I was thinking of, but it's here. 1975 or so, he was talking about what he anticipated, and David Rockefeller was going to do it to us.
Right.
I was teaching that same stuff in the late 60s.
Yep.
The same stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm still teaching it. It's still in my books. And guys, it's still right out there. Only now we see how much they have done. Do we want to stop them? Or do we want them to do all they want? Government is power. They will do all they want. They'll go as far as they can unless you say that's enough. But you don't have to say that's enough by shooting them. All you have to do is organize and say that's all we're going to do. We're not going to do more. There are people trying to open their restaurants in some communities. Okay? The community restaurants are getting together. We're not going to do this anymore. They're killing us. We need to be able to open so we can make our living. And they're opening and ignoring all the rules. If the people are with them, then they'll get away with it. But if the people are not with them, they will not. That's what I was going to bring up. Individuals. Everybody's an individual. But if you think you can defend yourself from the gargantuan government as an individual, I got some land and some beautiful swampland you can grow stuff in Louisiana.
All right.
Folks, the government will always take away from the individual, but they won't take away from the group. The group must stand up and say no. And if we don't stand up and say no, they'll just do the next thing. They'll just do the next thing.
To what you mentioned about restaurants, not to focus primarily on that, but Michigan State Attorney General Dana Nessel arrested a 55-year-old, a legal immigrant from a socialist country who settled here to escape socialism. But she arrested this restaurant owner for opening her business in defiance of her orders. Now, I guess, you know, who's...
Where is the community in Michigan?
Okay, that's it. So how do you propose... In other words, how do you propose helping that woman? Do we go out and buy pitchforks and torches? And
you see, you're trying to propose something that happened because of what we've allowed to occur.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Now I'm going to rephrase that. What's going to happen if we don't organize, if we don't begin to understand what the Constitution says, if we don't start saying to our state and local governments, you can't do these things to us because we won't put. Now, I'm not saying to get a gun and say, I'm going to shoot you if you do it. I'm saying stand up as a group, a political group, and say, no, we're not going to do this anymore. The first step is a county sanctuary, constitutional sanctuary. That's the first step. And if your sheriff won't do it, then the first step is your city. If the city won't do it, then your first step is the community. But I'll bet, I'm just going to say this. I'll bet the city won't do it, but I'll bet you've got a whole bunch of community people, once they know what they can do as a group, will do it. And then the city will.
And that, I believe, to be true.
If the cities all do it, then the county will. And if enough counties do it, the state will. But if the people don't do it, it'll never happen.
Yep.
That's what I'm trying to do with these little hour and a half sessions. I want to reach out to hundreds of people and say these words to them, eye to eye. I'm saying it to them now, but it's over this, it's over that. We're going to go out and get something to eat, got the popcorn ready, all that kind of stuff. But if we're sitting in a room together, that's why I want the room to be together. We're sitting in a room together, we've got 10, 12, 15 people all together, and we're all learning and talking and asking questions about the same subject, and we're concentrating on that subject, it will be the same as you and Eric were doing, concentrating on the other subject. And the group will begin to understand. And that's how it works.
And this is a good place to wrap things up. I think people need to take advantage of your generous offer, folks. Look, we need to do something and if you're wanting to do something without, you know, picking up arms and at this point, but you want to organize, get 10 people, contact Richard Proctor by way of Provis Institute. Go to provisinstitute.com and let's get together. Let's organize groups of 10 or more. Invite Dr. Proctor into your home. It's going to cost you $12.
$13.25 is what the book complete. No other charge.
All right, so 13.
And remember the sheets that I've done. I'll send them to you. That gives you a way to hand this to somebody and not say another word.
There you go. There you go. So people want answers. I mean, this is the way to go, because the alternatives, folks, in my view, the alternatives are not very palatable. And you know, we need, and I certainly don't want bloodshed. So there you go.
Take care, guys. It's been great. We'll have a good time.
All right.
We'll do something next week. Again.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Happy birthday, belated.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
80 years old, can you believe
that? I've seen 80 summers at this point. 80 Christmases.
Do you remember them all?
No, I don't remember him 2 weeks ago, 2 years ago. But nonetheless, you've seen him all. It's a milestone. I'm glad to be here. We're going to do the same thing when the 90th one comes along.
Hope so. All right. God bless you, everyone. Have a great night. HagmanReport.com, ProVisionsInstitute.com. Good night, everyone.